Amen. Amen. Let's raise up our Bibles. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. And look, I'm looking at you. Thank you for bringing your Bibles. You know how easy it would be just to say, hey, they have it up there. Don't worry about it. I know it. Hey, I think just like you. I understand. You can look on Jelaine's. You can look up there. Understand, hey, look. But, you know, thank you for bringing your Bibles. And look, don't forget, I know I've told you this before. You know, I preach and teach from the Expositor's Study Bible by Jimmy Swaggart, which really has done extraordinary things in Jelaine and I's lives in the last 2.5 years. From what we've come from to where we are today, it's like, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you on Sundays. I know I've given every family a Bible. I think so right now. And so if you didn't get one from me, let me know, because I want to give that to everyone. You know, sometimes I remember if I did, and sometimes I just don't. I mean, you know, you just kind of... But if you didn't get one from us, please let us know, and we will get it to you, definitely, definitely. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 5, please. And Marie, thank you for letting the Lord use you today. I appreciate that. And I want to thank everyone for letting just the Spirit of God move and in receiving what was said. Thank you. Thank you. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to be reading a very familiar story of what happened in a certain lady's life. But throughout the Gospels, and I'm talking about, when I say synoptic Gospels, I'm talking about, and that's what they call them. Don't think, oh Lord, where he's going from here. they call it the synoptic Gospel, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason they basically do that, because all four of these guys write about the same things, just from a different perspective. And so you can see it. I mean, one story will be in one book, and it'll be in the next two or three. Not all of them, but it's familiar. And so you can see in these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Y'all like the way what Joe has done to all this stuff? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I thought, Joe, you're doing a great job. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Amen. It's really nice. It's really nice. We got the internet service here, you know. What's that? You're right. We'll get that to him. Definitely. Definitely. Thank you for that reminder. Y'all are some awesome people. Y'all remind me of things, you know. Y'all tell me what to do, you know. That's good. That's good. Amen. But he's doing he's great job. Great job. But in these four Gospels, it talks about many miracles and signs and wonders happened. You know, you can see blind eyes. They talk about blind eyes that will open, that Jesus would lay their hands or would mix up dirt and put it upon their eyes, whatever. That lame men and women were healed, you know. Demonic spirits were cast out of people. My God. Remember, you know, the God said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And as Jesus was walking by, they tried to stop him from saying those words. And it says that Jesus heard. That's not what I'm preaching on, but Jesus hears. I know the devil will try to tell you the little prayers, and I hate to say little prayers, because prayer to God is prayer to God, is talking to him. But those little prayers that you have prayed upon your bed at night when no one else was up, when no one else could hear you, and you basically whispered it because you didn't want anybody to know about anything, God heard those prayers. God heard those prayers. God heard those prayers. Those prayers that you sang, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. That God hears it, just as the son, just as that lame beggar was just there saying, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And what did Jesus do? He had mercy upon him. He had mercy upon him, just as he has had mercy upon us. Many, many, many miracles. It says there were so many miracles that happened that the books could not contain what our Savior has done upon the earth when he lived here for 33 years. My God, that's the kind of Savior you serve, that has so many miracles that are happening through him and helping humanity that the books cannot contain it. The books cannot contain it. You're saying my cell phone can now. Okay. Yeah. Never know. But the books at that time couldn't contain what our Savior had done upon the earth. That's the kind of God we serve. There's nothing that's impossible with God. Nothing at all. In Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 25, and as I start to read it, you're going to see what it's about. It says this, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That means she was, and you can read it, she was hemorrhaging. And that's a female problem, but it happened for, can you imagine, 12 years? I'm surprised she didn't kill herself. I mean, honestly, huh? My God. I mean, you know, 12 years, but just hemorrhaging and hemorrhaging. And probably not just a flow of blood, just hemorrhaging. My God. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had. And was nothing, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, or turned around in the crowd, and said, who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. Remember what I told you? They say the same stories or repeat. There's a reason why Jesus repeated or had them write it more than once. Because as human beings, we need to remember what our God is. Remember, we need to remember who He is and what He can do. That He is a God of all possibilities. That when something seems dead, and when something seems like it's gone astray, when something seems like it will not happen, that we can rest assured that our God is in control. That our God, praise God, that our God is in control. Look, before I read this, when God brought the Egyptian, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, what happened? It got worse before it got better. Sometimes that may happen, that God will let things maybe get a little worse so we can rely on Him a little bit more, so we can see Him bring restitution and help. And help us to get through. That we can see God in a way that we never saw Him before. Things got worse. Can you imagine making bricks with no straw? Provided by the government. But what did they see? They saw themselves walk out of Egypt full of power. led by Moses, a man of God. They were rich. Because the Egyptians didn't want them there anymore. They had the gold, the silver, the bronze. They were rich. But the Egyptians basically said, please get out. And when things seem like they are worse, you can rest assured that your God, as He sits upon the throne in heaven, and Jesus is on the right side of Him, they're looking to your cause. Wow. They're looking to you. They're looking to see what's going to happen. But they are in control. They are in control of the situation and the problem. As we look to them, and as they are looking towards us, the Holy Spirit is working and doing what the Father says to do in your situation. He makes things that seem impossible, possible with Him. In Luke chapter 8, look at verse 23. The Holy Spirit says, you know what? It needs to be written again. Luke, write it again. My people need to know what I can do. Faith, as we read these things, as God healed these people, faith rises up on the inside of us. That's why God says, read His Word, because faith rises up in us. You look at a faithless people, you look at a people that don't read His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, as it says in Hebrews. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And old Slewfoot will try to get us never to crack open this Word. Because you see, faith rises up in us to believe God for the impossible. And what He wants to do is stay low in our faith or no faith at all. And He puts His foot on us. But as we rely upon Him and we rely upon God and we rely upon Jesus and we rely upon the Holy Spirit and we ask God to move and we read His Word and we're saying, Lord, show me something. Lord, show me something. Lord, give me food this day. Lord, I don't want stale bread from yesterday, but Lord, I want fresh manna from above, Lord God. Feed me, Lord. And look, He shows us things. And faith rises up on the inside of us. And when things start to happen on the outside of us, there's something on the inside, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the power of God on the inside of you, quickened by the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That rises up on the inside of us and says, this will happen because of the Word of God. Lord, I rely upon You and You alone, Lord God. And Your Word is more true than anything in this world, Lord. And we take that Word as it rises up on the inside of us and we stand on that problem and we say, this is what the Word of God says. Not that we have power inside of us or anywhere in us, except the Holy Ghost power given by the Godhead to us. So as we stand upon that problem and we quote the Word of God, we're quoting what Jesus said. Oh, need to get it. We're quoting what? What the Father says. Wow. We're quoting what? What the Holy Spirit says. That's what we quote. And we don't stand on our own selves, but we stand upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ, the rock, our Savior. And we say, this is what the Word of God says to this problem. And Lord God, I believe Your Word. And Father, I stand upon it. And it doesn't matter how worse it gets. I believe Your Word because Your Word is true. And look, who is the Word of God? It says Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the Epistle of John. My God. In Luke chapter 8. Did I read those scriptures yet? Luke chapter... No, okay. Thank you. See, I need you. Man. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And it says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched.
And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied Peter and they who were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng you and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is going out of me, or the power of the Holy Ghost has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared upon him before all the people that what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Here we see something tremendously happen. Many, many miracles. Like I said earlier, books cannot contain all the things that Jesus did. Demons couldn't stand him. They couldn't even be around him. That's your God. Here he's doing what he did every day, walking to the temple, doing stuff, praying with people, just ministering the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords till his appointed day to die. And as he was walking, a lady who had spent all she had. You know what that tells me? There's nothing wrong with doctors. I go to one. Check things out, do whatever, you know, whatever. Want to stay healthy. But she needed a healing. She spent all her money. You know what they did? They stole all her money. They knew they couldn't do anything for her. They just stole it. Stole it from her. She had no more money left. She wasted it. I mean, everything was gone, basically. But she heard. And faith rose up within her. She heard. "I heard he's healed some people. I heard that he's walking by me next week. I heard he's coming. And look," she said, "I'm going to get to him." She was desperate for a touch of God. Desperate. Desperate for God to touch her. Because she knew there was no hope. She knew that if Jesus didn't do it, that she would die sooner than what she should have. She looked and she saw him from afar off. Many, many people, and you can read it, many, many people around about him. Because all they wanted to do was touch him. All they wanted to do was get what they could from him. That's a sermon right there, people. Instead of praising him for who he is. And all of a sudden, this lady said, "I need to get to him." And faith rose up in her and she said, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment or the tassels." Because in those days, the leaders or whatever would wear a shawl type mantle, if you want to call it, over their shoulders. And it would drape down. And the tassels on there were blue, which replicated or meant that Israel always, or to remind Israel to always look to the Lord for help at all times. And she got to him and she touched it. And when she touched it, hundreds of people around about him, the power of the Holy Spirit flowed out of him into her. And touched her. And it says immediately, her issue of blood, what she needed, was healed. It stopped. And I'm sure she fell back and went back, thinking, "Oh," and he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" And I'm sure all the people there probably giggled and laughed. And yeah, we thought he was crazy. Look, we know. Just like they think we're crazy. Because we lift our hands, we jump, maybe you might want to run, doesn't matter. But giving praise to him. And finally it was open up to her and she came and she said, "I did." And she bowed herself before him. And he said something amazing. He said, "Daughter." He didn't say woman. That compels me to think when he said daughter, that she received him as Lord and Savior. And he said something amazing. He says, your faith has made you whole. You know, in Scripture, in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. James 4, 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But I want to concentrate on that first part. Draw near or draw nigh to God, and He will draw near to you. God is saying, come. We can never be tempted just to stay stagnant. But God is saying, come. He says this in His Word, James, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This little woman knew she had to touch Jesus. She did everything possible to get rid of the people. She pushed him to the side. She had a need. Her life, her life was in the balance. She knew she had to touch him. She pushed people away. She pushed him to the side. She did everything possible and got to him in faith. And power left his body. God is saying to us, all things are possible with Him. But we have to draw near to Him. We have to run to Him. We have to go to Him. We can't just be lackadaisical and just stand back and do nothing. And says whatever happens, happens. Let me tell you, you do that and old Slewfoot will have a heyday with you. He will have a heyday with you. He will put things in your mind that will make you think things that aren't true. He will try to bring destruction to your mind and your heart and even your spirit. Oh, thanks, babe. Excuse me. But she was desperate, drawing near to God. My God, people. We can go around the world and do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God and win people to God. And do might and build schools and churches and all those things are important because we need to reach out and touch. But if we lose our first love, where are we? If we lose the passion to pursue our God, where are we? Drawing near to Him, saying, look, I'm going to take time with my God. I'm going to take time to know Him. I'm going to take time to speak with Him. I'm going to take time to read the Word of God and get it in our hearts and get it in our spirits so that we can live a life that is pleasing unto Him. Pleasing unto Him, not pleasing unto us, but pleasing unto Him. Drawing near, as James 4:8 says, drawing near unto God. And as we draw near to Him, this is God. As I, for example, take a step towards Him, He comes towards me. What happened with this little woman? When the virtue of the power of God came out, what did He do? He turned around and He said, who touched me? Faith, you need to write this down. Faith gets the attention of God. Not faith in ourselves, not faith in the church, not faith in the world, not faith in the government, for sure. Not faith in anything except faith in God and what He did at Calvary's cross. saying, Lord, no matter what, no matter how I feel, look, do you think every morning I feel like a pastor or feel like a preacher? Nope. We don't walk in feelings. We walk by faith in the Son of God who has done a work in our hearts and in our lives. Desperate. We need to remember never to run to anything else. Never. Never look anywhere else except to Him. Never look at the circumstances. Never look at people. Never look at circumstances or things or whatever's going on. But we always look to Him and we run to Him. As she touched Him in faith, believing that He was God or the Savior or the Messiah or the Promised One, she was instantly healed. Isaiah 55:6 says this. Isaiah 55:6 says this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. My God, He's near today. He's near upon the earth. He's moving. He's moving. He's raising up people that will take a hold of the Word of God, that will take a hold of Him and saying, Lord, I believe. Lord God, things look bad. Things look bad in my life personally. Things look bad. I mean, I'm saying things just look bad. But Lord God, we'll take a hold of the Word of God and we will believe Your Word, Father. Lord God, we will get a hold of You and we will not let You go, Lord. And we will look and we will find You. And as we draw near to You, You will draw near to us, Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Look, there will come a time. We're living in a dispensation of grace. That's the time period. But that period will end. And seeking the Lord while He may be found, He will not be found. And will be a tragic, horrible time. Call upon the Lord while He is near. James 12:24. No, I'm not sorry. Hebrews 12:24. Hebrews 12:24. Page 2141. As God tries to build our faith in us, the devil tries to plant seeds of unbelief in us. As God plants faith in us, as we believe His Word, the devil tries to plant seeds of unbelief in us. Have you ever prayed about something and it didn't happen? We've all been there. The one thing I realize is this, that His wisdom surely outdoes mine. And He knows what is best. And I know all of us have prayed about something and it didn't happen. And that's the ripe time that the devil tries to put a seed of unbelief in us. It's like this. We pray about something and it doesn't happen. Or it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen. Ooh. Hmm. Well, step one, step two, step three, step four. And God says, step zero. Because He knows what's best. And so because it didn't happen the way we thought, We get angry at God. And seeds of unbelief in who He is, the devil tries to put in us. And if it stays, it will have a root which is hard to take out. And so we got to deal with things at the moment. And if things don't happen the way we think, we just need to say, Lord, I will praise You, I will honor You, and I will love You. Lord, Your wisdom outweighs my wisdom. Well, I believe God's word, and it did not happen like that. God knows what is best for us. God knows what is best. And so what we have to do is back away and say, Lord, I don't understand it. But Father, I will not let anything in that will cause unbelief in Your word in my heart, in Your word in my heart, or unbelief towards You as my God. Example, how do you think Job felt? Prime example. The richest man in all the world. I mean rich beyond measure. And in one day loses basically everything. All his cattle, land, children. Can you imagine having a funeral for 10 children, 10 caskets? We can't even deal with one. And I'm not trying to demean that. I don't want to deal with that. What I'm saying is going from the pinnacle of a man of God, and the whole world sees it and says he's a man of God, to below dirt with sores all over his body. When his friends said, just curse God. Or his wife. My God. Do you think he understood? But it says that he never spoke a word against God. That says something to me. We have to protect this. And I'm sure in his mind he's thinking. But it never comes out of here. Because when it comes out of here, it goes into the heart. And it sinks down to the spirit. So we got to watch these things. We got to watch those things. And not let that unbelief, because what we know is, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Hebrews 12:24 says this, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, I just want to look at the first part, A part. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. With God, all things are possible. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. The new covenant. And they had the old covenant in the Old Testament. Jesus came on the scene and fulfilled all the old covenant. That's all done. And he makes a new covenant, which links God the Father and his children, or humanity, together. And the new covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus. The new covenant. So he is the mediator of the new covenant, which now that's why we have grace and mercy so abounding upon the earth at this time. Because of the blood of Jesus. It says that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, just cover it up. But the blood of Jesus could take all those things away and reconcile what man, God, back to man through Jesus. A new covenant. A new covenant. That new covenant was introduced. Why? Oh, because of Jesus and what He did at Calvary's cross. It's that blood that reconciled God back unto man. His blood was perfect. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You know, we sang that song, or years ago, that song, "Oh, the blood of Jesus, that makes me white as snow." Oh. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's only through the blood. Making of that new covenant, that new covenant. It was Jesus that healed her. It was Jesus that did all the miracles in the New Testament, basically, in those Gospels. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's leashed out what the Holy Spirit back unto us, and He's saying, now go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Under the new covenant, can you imagine? Because of the new covenant that Jesus made, that we have been set free from the bondages or the chains of bondages that try to ensnare us. That we have been set free in our minds and our hearts and in our spirits. Healed under the power of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you, all the miracles that happen are great. But I tell you what, the greatest miracle for mankind is just giving their hearts to the Lord. The salvation, that is a miracle, a sign, and a wonder that goes far beyond any miracle. But yet as men and women, we look at that as less than somebody's healed of cancer or their legs grow out. I mean, those are great things and I love to see it. But salvation is the greatest thing, the new covenant that God has given unto us. Because of that new covenant, God has established by bringing the Father and His children back together. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, people. We need the power of the Holy Ghost back in our churches. We need the power of the Holy Ghost back in our churches. We need the power of the Holy Ghost back in our churches. You want to know why homosexuality is being legalized by the government? They'll throw you for a loop. Because it was already legalized in the church. Might say, well, what do you mean? Because the pastors aren't saying anything about it. And it's being accepted. So it's already been legalized in the church. And so the church sets the standard. I know we often think, well, the world sets the standards for the church. That's not how it is. It's the church, born by the Spirit of living God, that sets the standard for the world. You want to know why the world hates the Jewish people? Because they gave us the Word. They gave us the Word. Every writer, and I know I said this already, except one they think, but I think he was Jewish. We're all Jewish people that wrote this Word. God used the Jewish people. God used the Jewish people to bring the Savior into the world. Two great things. The world hates the Jewish people. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. I was listening to somebody during the week and they were saying they had just went to Israel or the country of Israel. And they were saying, you know, what's an amazing thing is this. You go into Israel, the country. And it's a prosperous country. It's just prosperous. There are markets. There's, you know, they even said this, which I didn't realize, that their money is one of the strongest money in the world. Their currency. But he said, it's clean. I mean, it's just prospering. I mean, they have buildings going up. I mean, it is just, and I know we look at the news thing and we're going, oh my God, you know, what's going on with the war and stuff? I say war, it's a war. But he said, just go across the borders from the north, south, east, or west, and it's totally different. Because you see, he said, I know Israel rejected the New Testament Jesus, but they still retain the Old Testament God. And God has still blessed them. But he said, across their borders, they don't serve the King, the God of gods. They serve something else. And evil and the curse of God has been upon them. Look, that's just like us people. When we serve God, the blessings of God will be poured out upon us. The power, the presence of God, the anointing of God. And I'm about to close. I know it's only 11:15. You're going, oh my God. Look, everybody looked at their watch. You can turn around. The clock's over there. No. But as we serve Him, His anointing and His presence will be upon our lives. Draw near to God this week. You might say, Pastor, what do I have to do? Well, that's the $500 question. Just talk with Him. Just talk with Him. That's what prayer is. Talking with Him. Crack open the Bible and just read. And say, Lord, show me. Every once in a while, raise your hand. Not while you're driving, but whenever. And just say, Lord, I love You. You're such a great God. Praise be unto You, Lord. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Giving Him the praise and the honor that He so deserves. Draw near to God this week. And it says, as you come to Him, He will come. As you are drawing near to Him, He just comes. And He goes faster than what we can. It says in Scripture, call upon Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. That's the kind of God we serve. Praise God. Won't you stand, please? Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise be unto You, Lord. Praise be unto You. Praise be unto You, Lord. Father, we give You praise and honor. Father, we give You praise and honor. If you don't know Jesus this morning, maybe you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And you'd like to do so. Or maybe you have, and maybe you've drawn far from Him. And you're saying, I just want to be drawn back to Him. Would you please just raise your hand this morning? Raise your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise unto You, Lord. Let's all pray this prayer together because we have somebody that raised their hand. And let's all repeat this prayer after me, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept You as the Lord of my life. I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again and You're seated at the right hand of the Father. And I accept You as the Lord of my life, that You will lead me and You will guide me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may look. You can look this way. Look, I just want to tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.